Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
I thank God for all that's listening on today. Welcome.
Welcome
to the preacher.
And the pastor.
I am Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Welcome to our show today. Today is a good show. You know, you talked about it, and we talk about it every day, and we have it every day. Today we're talking about
the promises of God.
Yes, the promises of God, and we can stand on those promises, but we know that God is not like man that he shall lie. So we can definitely, as they would say, cash those promises in.
Amen. You said cash it in. Yeah, we can definitely bank on it, cash it in, stand on it, believe in it, all that you need to do. It is true.
Amen. Amen. Promises are made to be kept. A lot of people make promises and don't keep those promises. But the promises of God is what we're going to talk about today here on the show. God bless you all for tuning in on today. We're talking about the promises of God and what God has promised us, you know, and we can still stand on those promises. And the covenant that was made, we talk about the covenant. The covenant, it means the promises of God. You all bear with me on today. I decree and declare I'm healed and everything is working together for the good of my life. And I just thank God for this opportunity on today to be able to bring this show to you. My husband and I to be able to deliver the message on today. This is something we were writing today. My husband, we had to come up with something. We normally already have a show scheduled, but he was like, let's talk about the promises of God. And we stand on that. So this show will talk about the promises of God and what those promises are. We understand that God keeps all of his promises, for he is not like man that he shall lie. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, when we talk about the promises, we talk about the promises of God, we have to realize that every single thing about the Bible, every single thing about the book of life is referred to the promises of God. Now, we do realize that it's more than God that speaks in the Bible. Now, we do know that. We do know that. There's a time when a fool speaks. There's a time when Satan speaks. Then, you know, there's a time, you know, when Job speaks. So we know that there are times where more than one person is speaking in the Bible, but the Bible is about promises. All the promises for you to be able to live a life and live a life in abundance. Amen. So we thank God, you know, for all his promises. You can go anywhere from Genesis to the book of Revelation, and you will find more than, I think I counted, or I think I found some research on it, like 3,000 and some different promises of God in the whole Bible. Amen. So we thank God, you know, for his promises. Amen.
Amen. As my husband is saying, that is true. The Bible is filled with the promises of God from Genesis to Revelation. So we read normal people in the body, they receive the promises of God. So these promises are sealed by the highest authority, God's word. So when we look in Hebrews 6 and 13, it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself. And the Bible tells it, God's word, he said, heaven and earth will disappear before his word comes back void. And so when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And you can stand on that, and you can believe all that God said he would do, he will do. So in Genesis 17 and 14, the Bible says, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. He's talking to Abraham here. And like I said earlier, the covenant means promise. When you hear about a covenant, that's a promise that God made with his people. The Bible said in Genesis 17 and 4, so when God spoke to Abraham, he declared that he would bless him and make him a father of many nations. And this is exactly what we see throughout the Bible in history. Amen?
Amen. Amen. We are that promise. We are that promise that God made to our father Abraham, and we should really realize that everyone that receives Jesus Christ into their life, that you are heirs. You are heirs to that promise. You're definitely heirs to that promise. So I would like to go over to, let's go over to Genesis. Since we are, the topic of tonight is the promises of God, let's go over to Genesis. And we were having Bible study. I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was the day before yesterday. I think it was the day we were having Bible study. Well, over here in Genesis 1 and 26, I like to start right here at 26. Well, It reads here, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing, and everything that creepeth in the earth. So now, this is what God promised. This is law. This is principalities, which is giving man management or stewardship over the whole earth. Now, do you believe that? Now, what we do realize is that if God spoke it unto the world, now, when we stand right here, you know, he said, let us. It's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost made man in an image or in a likeness. It says in our image and the likeness of us. So we know that God is almighty. Now, we do know that. We know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we know that the Holy Spirit has been sent here to live inside of us. So we should also know if that is true, and you believe that, and that is true. But if you believe that, then you should also know right here in this scripture when it says, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle and over everything in the earth and everything creeping in the earth, you have power and dominion over whole earth and everything in it. Every spirit that's in this world, mankind has power and dominion over it because God's word is true and he cannot tell a lie. He cannot tell a lie. But we need to believe that. Now, we know once we go on past over here and we go over here to chapter 3, we know where the fall of man came. The fall of man, you know, started right here when the serpent spoke to woman, and, you know, he convinced woman, you know, that you surely shall not die. You can eat of the fruit of the off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we know that she did eat, and she know that Adam, he did eat too. See, what happened right then was your powers, because you didn't listen to God and you didn't believe God. But God gave you power and authority over every creeping thing. He gave you power and authority over Satan. Even right now, today, Satan is powerless. Satan has to have a body that he's operating in to be able to do anything in the world, because it is illegal. It is illegal for any spirit to have any power and dominion without a body. Without a body. Man and woman has dominion over the whole world. Now, if you believe that, then you should definitely know who you are and the powers that you possess that has been given through Jesus Christ, that you have power and dominion over the whole world, and you have power over Satan. A lot of things that's going on in our life, we be looking to God for God to do it. Now, these are the affairs that's of the world. These are the affairs that's in our homes. These are all these affairs, but what we are doing is we're saying, God, you do it, but God say, no, you do it. You do it. I gave you power over Satan. You have the powers, you know, to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. You have power over your relationship. You have that. Now, you have the Spirit of God that lives inside of you that will show you all things and for you to be able to do all things through Christ Jesus' strength. But you do it. That's what we should know that. We should know that we have dominion over this world. And God will not tell a lie. He will not take it back. He will not take that back. Because if God gives us power and dominion and he take it back, that means that this right here, scripture in Genesis 1 and 26, that means it'll come back void. And it will not come back void. And that's the reason why God sent his son to this world, for us to have a chance to be back in that power, in that authority through Jesus Christ in this world. Amen.
Amen, amen. If you just had tuned in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about here today the promises of God and standing on those promises.
Oh, yeah.
And we just thank God for those promises. There are seven promises of God. What are those seven promises? That God will be with us. He will protect us.
Yeah.
He will strengthen us. He will answer us. He will provide for us. He will give us peace. He will always love us. Those are the seven promises of God. When we look in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 24-25, the Bible's talking about here, the word says that, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant. That means God remembered his promise with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. So one of the greatest promises God made in history was the deliverance of his people from the Egyptian slavery. So God would call a man by the name of Moses, as we know, to declare to Pharaoh that time for his people to be set free. So as we know the story about Pharaoh and Moses, Pharaoh didn't take God's word seriously, and the effect, and there was a catastrophic effect, because he wouldn't hear to what God was saying to him. So as we read of the many plagues that God sent into Egypt that led Pharaoh in the end to release God's people, only to regret it and cause more problems for his armies. So the nation of Israel crossed the Red Sea and was set free after 430 years of slavery. So we know that God is with us, and we can stand on the promises of God, the covenant that God has made. And when Jesus came, there was a new covenant that was made. So when we look here, and I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28 and 9, you all. I'm going to try to slow down. My husband brought it to my attention that I need to slow down, get a little excited. So let's forgive me me being excited about the lesson or the topic on today. You know, just being able to stand on God's promises, just being thankful for those promises and that he will not break his promise to us. So we may break a promise. God will never break his promise. Those promises are still being kept today. They're still activated today as we live this life. So in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 28 and 9, the Bible says that the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. So God made a promise to the nation of Israel that if they kept his commandments, he would bless them abundantly. If they would obey his word in truth, he would set them high above all the nations on earth. And as we know, they were, when he brought them out of Egypt, he promised them, there was a promised land. Just think about it. God has promised, yeah, and he promised his children, he promised the children of Israel the promised land. Now, it may have taken them 40 years to get there, which was an 11-day journey that took 40 years because of their disobedience, but that land was still there. His promise stood. Moses was supposed to lead them into the promised land, but because of his disobedience, he was not able to go into the promised land. Joshua had to take over, but he stands on his promises. And we just thank God. As we know, the promised land, it was promised milk and honey. And we were talking about that today, right, love, about, you know, he said, I'm going to give you wells that you did not dig and houses that you did not build. And God stands on those promises. But the thing, like my husband said, do you believe? Do you have that faith? Do you stand on the promises of God so that you can receive it? Because once you believe it, you shall receive it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, we can go over and we can look at one of the things that we like to, that we know. Now, we know some of the promises. And even if you don't know all the promises of God, you have the Bible. You have the Bible. And we even have more today than what we had 30 or 40 years ago. You have a device that everybody likes to go to when you wake up early in the morning called the Internet. You can find anything that you need to find out about the promise, anything about the Bible that you need to know. You know, you have that search engine, that thing called Syria. It's a name, Syria.
Oh,
one Syria and one's Alexa.
Right,
you have Syria, Alexa. You have Syria and Alexa. You have an assistant. You have an assistant. And we thank God, you know, for having devices to be able to do that. Even this platform that we are on is an aid to be able to reach out to people that maybe need to hear the word, or someone needs to be able to give the word or deliver the word. You know, we have devices to be able to can do all things these days. Now, we didn't have access to this 40 years ago, but we have it now. So, you know, all things that we have, you know, use it. Use it to your advantage. There shouldn't be any reason why we should know the promises of God. There shouldn't be no reason why you should know who you are. You should definitely know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, then how can you expect to be able to survive in this world that you live in? How are you going to expect to be able to survive in a world that you live in, you know, that's full of terrorists, full of death and destruction? You know, there are people and there's things that's already here set up to destroy you because you don't know the promises. And I like to say, you know, just to be a little bit more precise, you don't know the promises or you don't know the laws that actually govern the place where you live, that governs you and that governs the place. Now, if you don't know the law, now let's think about it here just for a second. You don't know the law, but there are law enforcement that knows the law, that they definitely would, if you are breaking the law, then you have to pay. And the Word of God said that faith without works is dead. But also we need to know faith without work is dead, or faith without action is dead. We need to know that action without faith would kill you. You don't know the laws and you don't know the promises. You are setting yourself in a place to where, hey, that's your life. It's your life, and anybody that depends on you, it could be their life too. So definitely, you know, spend time in the Word of God and knowing the promises. One promise, I'm going to get back to that one. One promise is, that we like to know, that God said that I would never leave you nor forsake you no matter what. Well, the reason why we have all the law and all the promises is because of the one ultimate reason. God loves you. God loves you. If God didn't love you, then why would he send his only son to die in your place? But not just die, but being resurrected back to heaven, so you will have a chance. You will have a chance. And that's for you. That's for you, all that do believe. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Just got tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about the promises of God and standing on God's promises when we're going through some. I know a lot of times when we're going through, we can forget the promises of God and all that God has promised us is in the Bible. Like we stated earlier, from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about God's promises. The Bible is full of God's promises and reminds us that He is faithful. He is a faithful and just God to do all that He said that He will do, more than what we can even ask for. Amen. And in the Bible, in Joshua, we're talking about Joshua. In Joshua 1 and 9, the Bible reads that, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's one of God's promises, that He will always be with you. So in the book of Joshua here, God will speak through to encourage the people of Israel to not be discouraged and to not be afraid, for God is was with them wherever they went. And that's the same for us. God is always with us. He's always, you know, and we just have to trust and believe in God is there no matter what we're going through. And when we talk, and I'm looking in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 and 1, we know about Samuel, that the Lord said to Samuel, "Show, how long will you grieve over Saul? So since I have rejected him from being king over Israel," there was a time in the Bible where God told Samuel to go anoint David, that he had forfeited King Saul in the position because he was disobedient in his action. So the Bible says, "Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king amongst his sons." So Saul had been the one that the Lord chose to rule as king. So the problem here was that, like I stated with Saul, was that he didn't listen to the Lord and disobeyed his order. So God then decided that David would be the new king. His word was sealed in heaven, and David ruled and became king. So if God says it, it shall be done. We can stand on the promises of God every day of our life, not just one day or 2 days when it's good or when it don't look so good. But when things get tough sometimes, it can be easy to focus on ourselves and our difficulties. So read that, you know, different Bible verses. I have a little book. It's called The Bible Promises of God. There are different scriptures in the book that will encourage you and encourage me throughout the day, and others that I come in contact with. And some of those scriptures of God's promises is in Psalm 145 and 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made." So you can stand on that. You can stand on that word of God as God's promise that He will have compassion on us. 1 Chronicles 16 and 34 said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." That is a promise, that God's love endures forever. He will love us always, even when we don't love ourselves. The Bible says in Psalm 105, that's chapter 100, verse 5, says, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through our generations." That's a promise of God. It's going to continue through generation and generation, after you, after me, after our children, His children, children. You know, God, the Bible said that it endures forever. His faithfulness. That's a promise of God. In James 1 and 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." We don't have to worry about God changing on us. This is His promise. "I will not change." You may change, right, but God promises He will not change. He will not change His ways, though we may change. Well, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 7 and 28, "Sovereign Lord, You are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and You have promised these good things to Your servant." Stand on God's promises. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And what happens if I make you a promise? If I make you a promise and then I don't keep my promise.
You
No, I'm really asking you a question. Yeah, I'm asking you a question. What happens? What happens if I make you a promise and then, you know, I don't stand on that, or I don't fulfill the promise that I made to you? How would you feel? Or what happens? Let me just ask you a question. What happens?
I wouldn't trust your word. I wouldn't trust you after that.
So if I made one promise, you wouldn't trust me. So what if I made 10 promises, but one of them, you know, I just didn't do it. Even though I made you the promise, would you still feel like, you know, that you can trust me or not? This is an honest question.
This is an honest question. Like I would still have that kind of doubt about it, because the first time you if it was the first time you made a promise and you didn't come through, then I would have doubt from that time on that you would have to build, you know, back up my trust to believe in your promises. So if it was the very first time you made a promise to me and you didn't keep it, then I wouldn't give up on you, but I definitely would have that kind of, you know, doubt about, you know, accepting your promises. I'm one of those people that, okay, now you told me you're going to do something, you promised you were going to do it, and you didn't do it, so the next time, I'm not going to trust that you're going to do it. I'm going to have a plan B.
And you see right there, that's the relationship, and that is honest. I'm glad you answered that honestly. That's the relationship that man has with woman, a woman has with man and man, woman with woman. You know, we make a lot of promises to one another that we cannot, you know, keep it. We might keep it for a little bit. We might be able to keep it for 1 year, 2 years, sometimes even 5 years. I got to take that back. I got to change. So we change, but God don't change.
Yes, God don't change.
We change, but God does not change. God does not change. And you're right about that. If you were to tell me, if you were to make me a promise, I'm going to be expecting for you to fulfill everything that you said. Now, I shouldn't expect for you to fulfill something that you didn't say, but everything that you do say, I should definitely expect that. So I was just trying to say that illustration. I believe that's how that's what happened with the fall of man. You know, there was some doubt, and you said that word doubt. Doubt, that means that, you know what, I want to believe you, but I really just can't believe you because, you know, what you said, it didn't come back true. We thank God that everything that God says is true, and it comes back true if you believe. Now, there's a lot of times where that same thing what you just said, doubt, we don't believe that's for us. There's things that we desire to have. There's things that we want. The things that we want to happen in our lives, the things that we want to stop happening in our life. But do you really believe? Yes, I mean, let's be honest about it. Do you really believe, or do you have doubts? Because a little bit of doubt, if faith, how do you say that? Help me out there.
The way a little bit of doubt, it rules out all your faith.
Faith
it takes it out. It contaminates.
That's
it contaminates.
Right.
A little bit of doubt
contaminates
your faith.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's how it goes. You know, sometimes, you know, our words get tangled up.
That's all mine too.
Sometimes
you have to untangle my words, and I have to untangle your words.
Yeah, just a little bit of doubt. You tolerating on just a little bit of doubt, you know, that will contaminate all of your faith. You know, in time it will. In time it will. Nobody wants to be made a promise to and then find out, you know, that that is not true. It is not true, because after a while, I'll just be tolerating you. I'll be trying to, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. I'll give you another chance. Give you another chance. Until we just realize that, you know what? That was a whole lie. You promised me that, but that was a lie. But God does not lie. It's Satan that lies. God does not God does not give you a spirit of fear, where fear brings doubt, and doubt is the work of Satan. It is. It's just true. Doubt is the work of Satan. When you have doubt, I mean, that's not because, you know, you have doubt in God. You have doubt because you don't believe. So what is it that you do not believe? And I have to eat that one. That's one for me, and I think, you know, to anybody, you know, that can really look at themselves and look at their situation and look and trying to see what it is that should happen or should stop happening, is because of your doubt. It's because of your faith. It's because of how you believe and what you trust and what you believe in. The Word of God saying, God said, you know, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. I think we was reading that over in Ephesians. What we were talking about one time, Ephesians 3. It was me, you, and Mom. We were talking on the phone one evening. That was Ephesians 3, and I want to say Ephesians 3 and 20, 21. Let's try to go there. Let's try to go there.
Amen. If you're just tuning into the preaching of Pastor Joy, we're talking about the promises of God as Pastor is going to Ephesians 3. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's go over here to Ephesians 3.
Okay.
Which one I say?
Amen.
Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So what this scripture is saying is, now unto the one that can do exceed more than you ever can think, more than you ever can think, more than you ever can ask for, more than you ever can pray about, God has more for you than what you are asking. God has more for you than what you can ever ask. Because his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and ways are higher than your ways. Whatever it is that's going on right now, whatever it is that you need to show up right now, according to Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says it right here. And this is one of the promises. I mean, there's so many places that you can go. There's so many places that you can go in the Bible. If you don't know where to go, just open it up and go in there and read it and ask for divine guidance and interpretation of what the word is saying to you. How does this apply to my life? Who said it? When it was said? And how does this apply to me? How do I apply it today? Because these are the promises of God. You know, these are the provisions of God. You know, and hey, if you can find yourself in that place, then you're on the right track. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and show you Amen. All things. And that is a promise of God, what I just said. The Holy Spirit will lead you to show you all things. Over in John Amen. 14, Jesus told that to his disciples. He said, I have to leave you for a little while, but I don't leave you comfortless. I leave you with the comforter. That's a promise. That's a promise to you all that do believe in God.
Yes, he said,
all
if Jesus
God,
said God.
That is a promise.
Yes, he said, my Father will send you a comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent him, he did send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that operates in us. Sorry about that, babe. I just wanted to come in on what you were saying.
Amen. Amen. There are so many promises, so many promises that God has made for us. And we need to know that. You can find it. If you don't know how, where to look at, you know, hey, open up the Bible. Make sure you know that you are practicing putting on the Word of God. Make sure you are reading the word daily, but not just reading it. Just say that you read it. Read it. I like to pray before I read any scripture, especially if it's something that I never read before. What I like to do is I will pray first. I will say, okay, and I'm talking to God just like I'm talking to my wife or I'm talking to one of you. Okay, now I do know that whatever it is that I read right now, that it is true, and I should never be the same once I read this. I'm positioning myself to believe the word. I'm not putting myself in a position to try to find any void, any mistakes in the word. I'm positioning myself to believe the word.
Yes.
So that,
amen.
Yes, because that type, amen, that type of thinking or that type of belief, what you're saying is that God, I trust you. I trust you.
Yes.
I trust you that everything that you show me in this word is going to be true. And I should never be the same after I read it. And it's going to cause change to come in your life. And we thank God for grace. We thank God for grace that has made all available for us to live in that abundance. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're just tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about the promises of God and standing on those promises and what those promises are. You know, we're talking about, you know, God's promises to us, and those promises are still ready and available to us. We stand on those promises, and we live by those promises today. And one of those promises is we are talking about that God will strengthen us in our time of weakness. In Isaiah 40 and 31, and this is something. This is a scripture that's really known. I hear it a lot in the church, and even before I came into ministry, the Bible says that, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God will strengthen us if we wait on the Lord. So Isaiah was speaking to the people that were broken and discouraged and running weary. I don't know about you, but at some point in time in my life, I was there. I was in that position where I felt broken, you know. I mean, I could just say I was broken, you know, and discouraged and running weary. I was at that point like, Lord, here I am, surrendering all over, you know, have your way in me. So he would tell them, Isaiah would tell them to wait on the Lord, for he will renew their strength and hearts. These are the promises of God. So this promise is beautiful and can be applied to us today and every day of our lives. If we wait on God, he will show up. He will renew our being. Do you believe that? That has happened for me, and it continues to happen for me. I stand on the promises of God, and when you believe the promises of God, you can start receiving those promises. Not like when man make a promise. When God makes a promise, it's up to us to receive those promises of God, the covenant that God has with us, that he promised us what he would do. He promises it. You know, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came. There were promises made by Christ. If you ask anything in my name, if you ask my Father anything in my name, that he would do. Those are promises. You can stand on those promises. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's a promise of God, to give you a future and a hope. So the nation of Israel was going through a time of oppression. They would spend 70 years in captivity, but God would be waiting for them with plans to prosper them. Not plans of evil, but of hope, of love and peace. I know sometimes we're going through, it seems like we're never going to come out. It seems like, you know, like, God, why are you letting me go through this? God, I'm being beat down. But no, he said, I promise you, I'm going to give you an expected end, a future and a hope. I'm not going to do evil for evil. I'm not, you turned away from me, but I promise you, this is what I'm going to do for you. You're coming out.
Yeah.
You're going through, but you're coming out. So the Lord loves his people, and this promise shows his relentless pursuit in our lives. So God has good plans for us, filled with hope and a future. Amen. And I'm just so excited.
Amen.
So, you know, like I say, you know, standing on those promises and seeking God always. And my husband will tell you, one of my favorite scriptures, I don't know about you all, is Matthew 6:33. And this is what I stand on, seeking daily. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This is God's promise. Seek me first.
Yeah.
Seek
That's
me.
That's right.
And all my
That's
righteousness,
right.
because I'm going to make you righteous
like
my righteousness. And all these things, we're talking about your healing, your deliverance, your freedom, all that you need. So as life goes on, we forget our foundation as the people of God. Sometimes we begin to place other things before the Lord. And this verse here, this particular verse, is a perfect reminder of his promise. If we put him first in all things, even my mom, I said to my mother, before you even go to God, I know we need to, when we're hurting and we're in pain and we've been disappointed, we've been beat down and we're feeling lonely and, you know, we don't go to God, you know, saying, oh, Lord, I come seeking you, Lord, what did you want me to do? We go, God, I'm lonely, send me somebody. God, I'm hurt, me, heal me. God, I'm broke, send me money. Lord, I'm praying for a financial blessing. We don't go seeking God first, and that's what we're supposed to do. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness will open the door to all other needs in this world, financial needs, relationships, and even small details that can be overlooked that we haven't even looked at and didn't realize we need that fixed. We needed that taken care of. But when we seek God, and this is a promise of God, he said, I will do this. I will do this.
Yeah.
Seek me. Don't seek things, seek me. I promise you. I stand on that. Heaven and earth will disappear before my word comes back void. God will fulfill every word. Every word. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, since we are talking about promises, most people don't like, I'll be honest with you, I grew up and I didn't like to make promises, and I didn't like for anyone to make me any promises just because, you know, it tends to not happen, or it tends to not show up. So I believe, you know, that type of mindset, you know, I think the older you get, the more you start to trust into your own self and trust into your own ability, what you can do, what you can provide, all that you have control over, and anything else, I just have to deal with that. And I heard the brokenness, you know, of this world is very, you won't live in this world without experiencing this brokenness, which is the reason why, you know, God sent Jesus Christ to this world. It's for that reason. Promise you that, hey, if you believe in my son, then you definitely shall not die, but you should have, you know, everlasting life. And which one was over that? That was John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:16. Yeah, John 3:16, which is another promise. So the reason why that we have this show tonight about the promises, because not just for us, but everyone that lives in this world needs to know the promises of God, the laws that govern you, and the laws that govern everything that you have to deal with, everything in this world, the laws and promises and the authority that you have. You need to know that. Most of us don't even know how to enforce law or how to enforce what God promised you. You don't know the authority. You know, there is one law, and I think that this one law that everyone has to live by is the law of divine oneness. We need to know that. You need to know the law. You need to know the promises and, you know, the law of divine oneness. And the law of divine oneness is that everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you believe affect the whole world. It affects everything around you. I mean, it just affects all, everything you say, everything that you do. We need to know that. We need to know that. And that's a problem, because that's a law. That's a law. And if you know how to enforce, if you know how to enforce this law, you know how to enforce this law using your power and using your authority. Now, you have this power and authority. Now, we read that over in Genesis chapter 1 and 26. You have dominion over the whole world. So you should know that, hey, it's a privilege of yours. I mean, it's a privilege of yours to be able to pray, to tell God what God said already in his word, what he promised. Tell God what he already said in his word. Because what you're doing right now, you're enforcing law. You live in this world and you're enforcing law. You have the authority to be able to enforce law. See, there's another law and there's another promise, which is the law of attraction. Now, we need to know that laws and promises, they are almost one and the same. Depends on how you use them. They are almost one and the same, laws and promises. We need to know that. The law of attraction. And my wife read that one over here in Matthew 6:33. That's enforcing the law of attraction. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things added unto you. You are saying to God what he's already said to you. Whatever it is that you are desiring in your heart, whatever it is that you are praying about, you're using that. You're using scripture to enforce whatever it is that you desire in your heart. God knows. God knows. That's one thing that we would say. You know, well, God knows. Yeah, God knows. Well, see, you have the power and you have that authority. God has already made his promises available for you. You have the grace of God. You have Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have so many things to be able to use. The gifts of the Spirit. Those are promised to you. The gifts of the Spirit, which are our tongues. See, that's a gift. That's a gift for you to be able to use, the gift of tongues. Then the gift of being able to interpret tongues. You have the gift of healing. You have the gift of wisdom and knowledge. And you have the gift, wisdom. You have these gifts. These are promises. These are promises for you, all that do believe and all that is in Christ. So you find your place. You find your place wherever you are right now in life. You find your place. And you find it in Scripture. And find it in Scripture, then you can enforce what God has already said, what is written. What is written is been written before you got here. And when you leave here, it's still going to stand. It's been standing, you know, from the beginning of the world until the end of the world. Use what God has already given you to stand.
Amen.
To fight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tuning into the preacher and the pastor show. We're talking about the promises of God, and it's just so exciting to be able to stand. It's exciting, one, to, for me, is to believe and receive those promises of God that they have been activated. They're still working today, like my husband said. When we look in the Bible, in John 1:12, the Bible says, but as many as has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So this promise is in the context of salvation. If you believe and receive Jesus, he will give you the power to become a child of God. You don't need to work for salvation. It's a gift, as you were talking about the gifts. You know, it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's a promise that God made when you receive his son. Now you become a child of God. It's a gift from God when we simply believe in him. Amen. And so another scripture the Bible says in Romans 8:28, it's talking about all things working together for the good. That's a promise of God. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. So sometimes life doesn't turn out the way we thought it would be. You know, we don't end up with the person we thought we would be with. We end up getting sick in our bodies. Or, you know, all kind of things happen. You know, you lose someone. So things, there's so much, you know, turmoil and things going on. But the Bible says here, God's promise is that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So at times, circumstances outside of our control enter our life and put us in a place of struggle or pain. So even bad things happen to the people of God. But Paul wrote, right here, all things work together for the good. Whatever the enemy meant for evil, God's love and power are enough to turn it around for our good. And, you know, some people say, how is that when you're going through? You can't see the turnaround. There's no way this can turn around. This hurts. This is too much. I can't take it anymore. But if you stand on the promises of God, he will turn that thing around, and it will work together for your good. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Yeah. All right? Again, let me say it again. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So Paul reminds us that the promises of God are rock solid, rock solid. It's not like water, you know, it's not like paper you can tear up. It's rock solid. We can stand on it. So if God says something, it will come to pass. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and believe him at his word. God isn't a man. His promises are guaranteed. We go on the store and we buy something. When it say guaranteed, we trust and believe that what that product said is going to do, which is a promise. When a product says we guarantee you, that's their promise. That's their mark saying we guarantee you that this will work. And they guarantee so much to say, if it doesn't, but we guarantee it will, bring it back and we'll give you your money back. That's a guarantee. Yeah. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As God promised, I will strengthen you. And standing on that word, I can do it. You know, speak that into your life. Speak the promises of God in your life. Pray those. Pray scripture in your life. Like my husband said, you tell God, your promises says, oh God, that through you, Lord, that you will strengthen me, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I stand on your promises, O Lord. So when we rely on our strength, we will fall short. But if we rely on God, he will give us his strength and power to overcome in this world. His word is a promise to us that we can do all things through him. It is through Christ.
That's right.
That strengthens us, that we're able to do all things, not by our own strength or our own power, but by Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to go over here to Matthew 5, and we're going to, like I said, you know, tonight we're talking about, you know, the promises of God, so we can go anywhere, and I'm proving this. You don't have to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. You know, I'm just giving you a little insight on where to go.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the word of God. That's right. Because I might say something to come back for it, but if you can find it in Scripture, you know, Scripture is what it is. It's true. It has not ever failed. Scripture has not failed anyone. If you believe in it, if the fear you can't there. Amen. Now, Matthew 5, this is Jesus. This is Jesus here. It says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and he went and sat. His disciples came unto him. And two reads, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, three. Now, look, this is a promise, right here in three. Blessed are the poor, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Anybody that's poor in spirit, anybody that's believing in Christ and you're poor in spirit, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. For blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's a promise to you.
Yes.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Yes.
Six, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, this is Jesus saying, this is not me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Eight, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Mm-hmm.
Nine,
yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, look at all these promises right here. Now, these are promises. Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking on the mountain here, and he was teaching his disciples. And it wasn't just him. It was multitudes of people that was around that were around too. They was hearing this. They was hearing this. So what was happening was he was talking about not just one person, not just one kind or one type. This is all. He was preaching this and teaching this for all.
Yes.
And these are promises. And we should stand on God's word. Well, God, you say it. You say it. And have courage to be able to do that. Have courage. Oh, no, don't you say.
Amen.
No, you have courage to say, God, this is what your word says. Your word says right here. So you are enforcing what his promise and his law say. This is what your word says. You said
Amen.
That the poor in spirit, you said that we are blessed. Blessed, E-D at the end. We are already blessed. And there is the kingdom of heaven that is for you. And you said that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, there's times where I need mercy. There's times where I get poor in spirit. Thank God for his promises over here in Matthew 5. Now, this is what Jesus said. Thank you, God, for your promises.
Amen.
Well, I know that I'm going to receive mercy. I know that I'm going to receive mercy because well, you don't tell your word as, will not come back void. And I'm enforcing what you said. In the name of Jesus, it shall be so.
Amen.
And make sure we are exercising that authority. In the name of Jesus, what authority are you coming to? What authority are you praying to? Who are you praying to? In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's true prayer, if you really know about it. True prayer is saying to God what God already saying to you. And the way you're able to do that, you're reading it or it's already in you. It's already in you. The promises of God. Enforce them. They're already in you. Let them out.
Amen.
If
you're just tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about today the promises of God. The Bible says in Timothy 4 and 7, as you were speaking, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Yes.
This promise reminds us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but one of power,
right.
Love, and self-control. Amen. And the Bible says in Timothy, as we're looking at the description, Timothy 1 and 7, when you feel fear coming over you, claim this promise over your life. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword, as we read in, as we know in Hebrews 4 and 12, which I stand on that word, some of the scriptures that I taught my children, you know, use that word, the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing
yeah.
the division of soul and the spirit. We stand on that word and we use scripture as we pray and stand on those promises of God. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. God promises help in the time of need. When we need mercy and grace, his word promises that if we draw near to the throne of God, we will receive and find it there. Prayer is our connection. Prayer is our connection. So when we pray, you know, Lord, Father God, thank you for your promises that we can come to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving, coming boldly. And as if you're just tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about the promises of God as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show. And as we know, God promises us all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And let's go to Revelation 3 and 5.
Okay.
The one who conquers will be clothed thus in the white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. So here Jesus promises us that we will never be blotted it out of the book of life. Once it is written, it is sealed with the promise to keep it forever. Our salvation is guaranteed. Jesus will confess our name before the Father and the angels, and that alone should make you get excited and rejoice, because Jesus came and he finished the work that he's promised us. It is a guarantee. Our salvation is guaranteed. That's a promise that we can stand on. Our salvation.
Yeah.
At this time, we're going to have food for thought from Pastor Dorsey Manny. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. We thank God for the promises of God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we went so many places in the Bible, and we trust every single word that's in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
We trust it. We trust it. We don't trust ourselves, but we trust every word. A little food for thought for tonight. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who
Hallelujah.
Is in you? What promises
Jesus.
Of God that you possess, that you have inside of you?
Yes, Lord.
Over here in 16, Matthew 5 and 16, reads, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now that's reassuring to know. Now, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And this scripture right here read that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Now it's just something to think about it. Whoever is in you, whatever it is that lives in you, and hopefully, you know, it is the Word of God that lives in you. Hopefully, that is the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Because if you know that, and if you believe that, it's a promise to you that you are the light of the world, and you are, you will shine. You will shine through all darkness.
Amen.
That's food for thought for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for
thank
your promise,
you,
Father God. We send your word in Isaiah 40:29, for the Bible said, he gives strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. And Father God, we ask that you allow the scripture to take root and manifest in us, Lord God. We stand in your promises in Isaiah 40:31, it said, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, we send in your words, Father God, on your promises on tonight, Father God. Oh, Father God, let it take root and manifest even to the listeners on tonight, oh God. Oh, our family members and loved ones. We send in your word, when you pass through the waters, the Bible says, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set ablaze upon you. Oh, Father God, we just want to say thank you for your promise, oh God. Lord, we thank you for all the good
thank
things in our lives, Father God, for you are the creator of all things good. And Father, we thank you for your presence, right? In your presence is
thank
the fullness
the
of our joy. And in your presence, we are complete and whole. And in your presence, we have purpose. Because of your presence, we are glad to be here. And Father, we thank you for your plan that we may have a full life and enjoy
thank
and have in abundance to overflow. Father, we thank you for your provisions that all our needs are met according to your riches and glory, and that we may prosper in all areas of our life, even as our soul prospers. Father, we thank you for your protection right now. We thank you that your perfect love casts out all fear, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment you shall condemn. Father, we thank you for your peace, the peace that surpasses
thank
all
you,
understanding, the peace that keeps us calm and secure through adversity, the peace that leads us through all the storms that come into our lives. Father, we thank you for our life and your presence in our life.
Yes, we thank you, Lord.
For the Bible says that you never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father God, we stand in your promises, oh God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you. The Lord declares plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Lord, we stand in your word, Father God, that you promised us, oh God, to give us a hope in the future. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you and we love you, oh God. We ask that you just have your way, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for forgiving us for our sins as we come asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you heal those that are sick, Lord God, those who are tuning in, Lord, that have been praying for healing, that's been praying for deliverance, that's been praying for the freedom, Lord God, been praying for protection over their family. We decree and declare right now that you're healed, delivered, set free, blessed, right now, protected by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us all. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we come asking for more of you and less of ourselves. And we fill this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory, and we all say amen. God bless
amen.
You all. It's been a wonderful, wonderful night. Standing on God's promises, you have a good night. I love you all. We love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Happy Memorial Day to you all. We love you. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. here on the Preaching the Pastor Show. Make sure you tune in. We'll be back here tomorrow night at 8. Hallelujah. Love you.
Come on, put your hands together.